I am going to talk to you today for, as I said, give me half an hour, back to 5 past, roughly. I'm going to see if I can rush this. I'm not going to go into depth, but I'm going to talk to you about the subject. This is the subject. I've got my notes here. Developing a strong prayer life. Developing a strong prayer life. Please pay attention again to what I'm saying to you. Now, there are 4 purposes of prayer. But before I get into the 4 purposes of prayer, which I'm going to give you very general 4 purposes, before I get into that, I want to say 2 things about prayer. Number one, my prayer life must be perpetual. That's the first thing you need to write down. My prayer life must be perpetual. It's got to be perpetual. What do I mean by that? I've got to be constant in prayer. I've got to be consistent in prayer. I've got to always apply prayer to my life in every single situation. My prayer life cannot be sporadic. I cannot switch on prayer and switch off prayer as I feel. My prayer life must not be based upon my emotions. Well, I'm going through this thing, and so therefore I'm going to pray. No, that's not genuine prayer, and that's not how God wants us to run our prayer lives. And so we have to pay attention to that. The first thing is that my prayer life must be perpetual, constant, continual, not sporadic, not emotional. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. What does it say? Pray without ceasing. Come on, everybody, say with me, pray without ceasing. Say it again. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? You pray at all times. As you practice the presence of Christ with you, then you should also pray at all times with you and take God wherever you are going with you. Number 2, before I get into the 4 purposes of prayer, the second thing I want to say is I must honor the time of prayer. That's so important, folks. I must honor the time of prayer. If you do not honor, what does it mean to honor? To honor means to lift up. I'll stick near the mic. I love walking by. Let me stick near the mic. To honor means to place high value on. Okay? I must place high value on my prayer time. That is not coming from me. That is coming from the Word of God. You have got to value your prayer time and place it in a level that is of high priority in your life. It's not an optional extra. It's something that I must do. I must have a prayer time. There must be a time when I come to God in prayer, bringing whatever I am bringing to Him. I cannot allow distractions to take me away from the hour of prayer. Neither can you, church. You cannot allow yourselves to be distracted away from what God has called you to. And that is absolutely important. Write down the scripture, Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. It says this, Peter and John, it's talking about Peter and John. It says that they went to the temple in the hour of prayer. Okay? So in the hour of prayer, there was a specific hour, a specific time when they went to the temple to pray. And this is what they did at the hour of prayer, at the designated time when they were supposed to pray and go to pray. That's what they did. They went to the house of God to pray. And so there is a dedicated time when we need to come together to pray as a body, as a church, like we did on Thursday. We had a beautiful time, didn't we? Those of us who were there, we had a beautiful time sharing together. And we're going to have more beautiful times. Why? Because every spirit, every meeting, just like that meeting, belongs to the Holy Spirit. Amen. It belongs to the Holy Spirit. Even on my way here, I'm praying in my heart. And this morning when I got up, I said, Lord, I know you gave me this, but if you want to change things, and by the way, he's done that before. And I think you know that. He's done that before. I prepared sermons and I've had to change it quickly because, no, the Lord is saying something else. And I just have to go with that flow. And I said, Lord, whatever you want to do, it's your church, you're building it. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so, God, we must give room for the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. Now, if I'm going to honor the time of prayer, that means I've got to be disciplined. Because there are going to be external forces and things that will come to distract me. There are going to come things that will draw me away from prayer. Draw me from the priority of prayer. This can happen on a personal level as well as a corporate level. We should make time to pray together. You should also make time to pray to the Lord in your own prayer time. So discipline to pray is a priority. I must create then a strategy for that consistency of prayer. Because if you don't create a strategy, then nothing happens. Defeat happens. Can I quickly share something with you? In the book of Judges, I'm going through Judges at the moment. I think I just finished it this morning. But I came across a story that I know about already. I'll just give you the brief of it. Two times, Israel went to fight against the tribe of Benjamin. Okay? And they came before the Lord and they said to the Lord, shall we go up? Shall we go up and fight against Benjamin? Will you give us victory? The Lord said, go up. So they went up, and guess what? They fought the fight, and they lost 22,000 men. So Israel heard from God. God said, yes, go. But they went, and then they lost. And then they came to God, and they cried, they wailed, they did all sorts of different things. And then they said, Lord, what's going on? What's going on, Lord? And they cried before him. They prayed. They fasted, the Bible says. Then they went before the Lord again. The Lord said, go up. Go up against Benjamin. They went up against Benjamin. They lost 18,000 men. So they came and they fasted and they prayed. They went to the house of God and they came before him and humbled themselves before him. And they cried, they wept, they did whatever they did. They cried unto God. The Bible said they cried unto God. And then they said to the Lord, Lord, these two times we've lost, well, it's 40,000. The Bible doesn't say that, but it says 22 and 18. That's 40,000. In two attacks, they lost the battles. But the third time around, folks, the point I'm trying to make is this. The third time around, they went to God, and God said, after fasting and weeping, God said, go up. I will surely give them to you. And the third time, they went up, and God gave it to them. What was the difference? I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm just lifting up this point before you. The Bible gives us descriptives pertaining to what they did the third time around. And the third time they went up, they had a strategy against the enemy. They had a strategy. And they sent some of their men, and then Benjamin saw them, went after them, chased after them. They killed 10 of their men. But then what Benjamin didn't know was that Israel was in the bushes, in the trees, hiding. And so they ambushed them. And they got the victory that day. So they lost two battles, but they won the war. Could it be that they didn't have a strategy the first two times, so they lost? I leave that for you to decide. But what I'm saying to you here, have a strategy for your prayer time. Because if you don't, then you may lose some wars. You may not see the victories that you want to see. You may not be persistent in the things that you want to be persistent in. Even though the heart is willing, but you have got a strategy. And so therefore, do you know that the enemy has a strategy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ephesians 6 tells us that quite clearly. And it says we should know his strategy. Know the wiles of the enemy. That word wiles comes from the Greek word methodias, from which we get the English word method. Know the method of the enemy. The enemy has a strategy. We looked at 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 and 4, or 4 and 5, some weeks ago in the end of September. We spent 2 weeks looking on those two verses. And we see that the enemy has a strategy right there in those verses as well. Now, four purposes of prayer. Number one, write this down. Growth and transformation. What are the four purposes of prayer? Why do we pray? Generally speaking, broadly speaking, I'm giving you four reasons. Number one, for growth and for transformation. Luke chapter 9 and verse 29, write that verse down. It says, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became white and glistening. This is talking about the transfiguration of Jesus Christ when he met with Moses and Elijah on the mount. And some of the disciples were there with him and they witnessed that. And Jesus said to them, don't say anything. When you come off this mountain, don't say nothing. And they couldn't. And Peter got excited and said, Lord, let's build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But that wasn't the purpose of God. Sometimes we can get excited and wanting to do things for God which have no relevance or purpose. But God always wants us to be a people of purpose. Growth and transformation is the first reason. It is not, prayer is not just for asking for things. Yes, it's part of it, but there's a lot more for it. The Bible tells us that as Jesus prayed, his fashion changed, his countenance changed. There was an internal change that resulted in an outward change, and that's what happened when he prayed. And we see a pattern of this also in Acts chapter 2. But before I get to that, as we pray, folks, there will be an inward change that results in an outward change. Now, you might not glisten, you might not glow. Sometimes you do. I went to, where was I when I saw this? I was watching a video. It was a video. Was it a video? I think it was either a video I was watching. Gosh, this is years ago, that's why. Or it was a pastor's meeting that I went to years ago. And I came into contact with people, and maybe you have as well, came into contact with this pastor. And I could tell that he was in the presence of God because there was a glow about him. There was a difference about him. How many people know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you can tell. When you spend time, quality time I'm talking about, in the presence of God, sometimes there is a reflection. That's what happened with Moses. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days. He fasted 40 days, 40 nights. And then he came back on the mountain. You know, one of the times, you know, three times he went up. And one of the times when he came back down, he went back up immediately and spent another 40 days, 40 nights. Almost immediately. And when he came back, his face was so shining, he was glistening so much that people couldn't look at him. Your Bible tells you that. So what I'm saying is, if we go to Acts chapter 2, because of time, I can't go into detail with this. When we look at Acts chapter 2, we see that Jesus had commanded the disciples after he rose from the dead. He said, do not leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come. And when the Holy Spirit came, the day of Pentecost came, a number of things happened that I'm just going to outline here, and then we'll leave you to study for yourself. Number one, note this order. They were in one accord, the Bible says, Acts chapter 2. They were in one accord. Number two, they were in one place. So they were in unity, and they were in one place together. And number three, the Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came upon them, and upon each of their heads were tongues of fire that was seen by others. And then they began to speak in other tongues, and the tongues that they were speaking in were of languages that other men from different countries knew, and they recognized and said, hang on a minute, how come this person is speaking that language and is not from that country? Because these things have never been seen before. So what I'm saying to you, there is an order for things. Number one, there has to be unity. They were in one accord. Number two, they were in one place. They were together. Not some coming and some not coming. They were all together. We've got to be together in prayer. In the spiritual and sometimes when it's relevant as well, together physically. Number three, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But number four, I want to make this point as well. The Bible says that they were not just there for that moment and for that day. The Bible says that they continued steadfastly in doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And then when you look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, it says, and they continued daily with one accord. So they were not in unity just for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was promised, but they were in unity beyond that. Daily they came together. Daily they were in one accord. Daily they were in unity so that the Spirit of God could come and operate. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, after coming together in unity in one place and continuing in that fashion, the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost had come, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, and then they were ready to go out and to do ministry. And that's how it is today. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. We cannot do it by ourselves. And by the way, you don't need thousands of people, hundreds of people. The Bible says with two or three are gathered, there's power in agreement, church. And there's power in agreement of prayer, so two people can come together and pray. One person can pray, and sometimes Joy and I, we pray individually by ourselves, especially in the mornings. But sometimes at night we get together and pray. And last night we were praying together, and there's unity with that togetherness, and there's more power there. So that things can be done, so that demonic things can be broken down, and so that every hindrance can be removed in Jesus' name. We're living in a season now where God is ready to break yokes and to move stuff. We're living in a season now where God is ready to outpour His Spirit. And that's where there's such a fight. That's where there's a fight everywhere. Everywhere now you hear people talking about the spiritual warfare. And that is because the Spirit of God is stirring up His people. He's stirring up the remnant. And He's saying there's no time now for complacency. This is the time now you've got to pay attention to what is happening. And we've got to move out in power. But you can't move out in power unless you're prepared for that. Unless you are prayed up. And so we've got to be praying, not playing. Alright, so number one, growth and transformation. Number two, what's the second purpose of prayer? To obtain requests and make petitions. To obtain requests and to make petitions. Very important. And very biblical, all these points. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, in that one verse, and there are many more in Scripture, but because of time, I deliberately didn't write it down because I know I could go right off on a tangent with this. But in that one verse, you see four things, and the four things are in order. But let me read it again. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, that's your desire. Because when you come to God and ask Him for things, you're not going to ask God for something that you're not desiring. So that's your desire. Whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe. Come on, everybody say with me, believe. Come on, say, I must believe. Believe that you receive them. Okay, that's faith kicking in. And you will have them. Now, sometimes people take verses like this and they apply it to any situation and they say, well, this is what the God's word says, so this must happen. You've got to ask according to God's word and will. If you know something is wrong, if you know it's not the will of God, don't bother asking God for it because, you know, God's not going to answer that prayer. Are you with me? If you're asking, it's contrary to what God's word says. Why are you asking? If God says you can't have that, you should... Look, I'm not going to go to God and say, Lord, can I have a second wife? Some of you look surprised. You look shocked. No, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because number one, my wife will kill me. Number two, my wife will kill the second wife. Number three, I only need one wife. I have all the wife that I need, singular. I don't need another woman in my life like that. Because God has given me everything that I need in this woman that I already have. Right? Now it's a gift of the Lord of God anyway. You know, so I can't do like what they used to do in the Old Testament and, you know, having concubines and all that. No. So I'm not going to ask God for something that, you know, He won't give me. So note the order in this one verse. I'll read it again. I'll quote it again, rather. Mark 11:24, the reference. Note the order. Desire, prayer, believe, receive. Desire, prayer, believe, receive. That's the order that you see in that verse. And that's the order of God. Desire. Some people have desire, but they don't have anything behind it. And you've heard me say over the years, desire plus discipline equals destiny. So if you have not, you want to get to the destiny. Everybody wants to get to the destiny. Everybody wants that thing, the good thing. Everybody wants that, but you have no desire. You only have a desire and you want the destiny. But you have no discipline in the middle. Desire plus discipline equals destiny. And that's what we need. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. So right there in the Word of God, we have the premise to ask. Alright, for obtaining requests, and we have the legality given to us to make petitions to the Lord. Petition is a continual asking, okay? So we have that jurisdiction from God's word to ask for the things that we need to believe. Number three. So what was number one? Four purposes of prayer. The first purpose is what? Growth and transformation. Second purpose? Obtain requests and making petitions. Number three, for manifesting your spiritual reality. Right? The third purpose of prayer is to manifest your spiritual reality. Let me give you three scriptures. Number one, Romans 4 And verse 17, it talks about, this scripture describes God within the context of Abraham. Okay, but of what it says of God is this. It says, God who calls forth those things that do not exist as though they do. You'll notice a pattern with God from the book of Genesis right throughout. And I've said this to you over the years, God never does anything without first saying it. He never does anything without first saying it. Why is that? Because the words release power. Words release power. There's no such thing, spiritually speaking, as you making a decree, okay, without using words. No such thing. There's no such thing as you praising God without using words. No such thing. You cannot praise God internally. And that's why when we have the opportunity to praise God, we need to make use of it. Why? Because the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits. You want God to inhabit your praise? You want God to come down amongst you? Praise him. The Bible also says in Mark 4:24 that God is seeking worshippers. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is seeking worshippers. You want God to dwell among you? Be a worshipper. Don't talk about it. Do it. Acknowledge him in your praise. Acknowledge him in your worship. And watch and see God come down amongst you. There are times when we praise God, and I noticed it just now, even though the building in here is a bit cold. Do you find that? Yeah. Is it cold in here? When you go out there, it's hot. When you go around here, it's hot. I don't know what's going on with this building. Sorry for those on listening on the tape. But anyway, I notice the atmosphere change. When we fellowship, when we open our mouths, when we speak words of affirmation, when we declare, when we move about, that's why when we tell you to praise God and to lift up your hands and to use your voice, you know, you've got to do it, because decrees are only voice activated. You've got to use your voice. So use it to praise, use it to worship. Now, your spiritual reality. So God calls forth, he uses his voice to call forth those things that be not as though they already exist. John chapter 5 verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he wills. You want life to come into your situation? Use your voice. You want life to come into your situation? Then you've got to believe God for your spiritual reality to be manifest amongst you. You've got to do that. Okay? As the Father gives life, okay, to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Listen, Jesus gives life today. I'm not just talking about physical life, I'm talking about spiritual life. You may feel like you're in a dead situation, a dead place. You may feel like you need resurrection or whatever it is. I'm telling you that God is able to do that. Can I get an amen? No matter what your situation, no matter how dark it seems, God is able to lift you up. He is the glory and the lifter of my head, the psalmist says. And that's got to be our declaration. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. The third scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. What has he done? His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and also godliness. Your spiritual life, your spiritual reality, your source of that is God. Your physical life and the physical realities that you're living, your God is your source. And if you don't like the physical, he can change that. If you don't like the spiritual, God can change that. Don't we serve a good God? Amen. So much more I can say. Ezekiel chapter 37. When we look at Ezekiel chapter 37, we see a situation where there were dead bones in the valley. Dead bones, dry bones. They were dead for such a long, long time. And then the Spirit of the Lord took Ezekiel and said, so can these bones live? And then the prophet replied by saying, oh Lord, you know. You know the answer, Lord. You know. And then the Spirit of the Lord told Ezekiel to do three things. Well, told him to do one thing but three times. He said, prophesy to these bones. The first prophecy was to, I'm reading it down here, so let me just go. Hear the word of the Lord. That was the first prophecy. Ezekiel 37, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 12. Okay? The instruction came out. Okay? In verse 10, you see where Ezekiel done it. In verse 6, you see where he done it. And in verse 12, he's done it. Okay? So the first prophecy, speaking, declaration that he was told to him, speak to these bones. Okay, speak to the bones. Can these bones live? Well, look, they're dead. They're dry. Everything around them is dry. But yet, the words, the Lord said to him, prophesy to the bones. Folks, whatever dead situation that you're in, listen to me carefully. It does not change by you feeling sorry for yourself. It changes by you taking action, and the right kind of action. Are you with me? So no matter how dead it looks, you've got to say, no. God is with me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? And then the voices now that will come up to want to silence you, you've got to silence those voices. You've got to pull them down. Like 2 Corinthians 10 tells us to do. Pull down those things that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The name of God. Pull it down. I've taught you how to do that. So the first prophecy, prophesy, hear the word of the Lord. Speak to the bones hear the word of the Lord. Secondly, number two, the second prophecy was, bones receive the breath of the Lord. Receive the breath. So hear the word of the Lord, but don't just hear the word of the Lord. Second prophecy, son of man, speak to the breath and say to the breath. So he was telling him to prophesy to the breath. What is the breath? The breath is wind. The breath is life. Speak to the life and demand it, command it to come into these bones that seem like they're dead. Well, they were dead. But command the breath to come. And number three, prophesy. The third time he was told to prophesy. Prophesy and tell the bones to rise up from their graves and to go to Israel. And folks, what's all we have to do? We have to speak life into dead situations. And we have to also command those things that be not as though they already exist. That's what God did. And that's what God the Father expects his children to do. We've got to say, no, this situation, I'm going to speak the end result. And that's what hope is. Hope is any end result, whatever you are expecting. We've got to declare it and speak it. You want to see life? You want to see finances come into your pockets, into your life? Call it forth in Jesus' name. And don't be afraid to do so. Church, are you with me today?
Yeah.
No, are you with me? Are you really understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're going to live on a different plane, and we're going to stay on that plane. Stop looking at the physical circumstances around you that is dictating that the thing won't happen. Listen, sometimes when you rise up, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. And I've noticed that in my life. I've lived long enough now to see that in my life. And if I'm taking my eyes now off the Lord, off the Word, and begin to focus on what is, you know what? I'll never do anything. That's why the Bible says, he who observes the wind will never sow. You can't do that. You can't observe the wind. You've got to go and sow when you need to sow. Oh Lord, I was going to sow, but it was raining. That don't make sense. So we're going to prophesy into our situation. Speak life into our situation. And watch and see the miracle come about in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me make this point before I move on to number four. Notice this, that the bones and the breath did not move until Ezekiel prophesied. So even though the Spirit of the Lord was saying, say this, and he said it, the bones, nothing happened until Ezekiel said it. And maybe the Lord is speaking to some of you today and saying, you want your circumstances to change? Say this. Say that. Pray this way. Go to this place. Give this gift. Pray for that person. But Lord, this person has nothing to do with what I'm bringing. Follow the instructions of the Lord, even though it may seem illogical. Okay? And watch God bring about what he's going to bring about. Okay? And God sometimes will not bring about things the way that we expect it to bring about, but he will bring about things of purpose that he has already ordained to happen in your life.
Amen.
So it might not look exactly what you're thinking, is what I'm saying, but it will happen anyway.
Amen.
How God sees it. Are you with me, church?
Yeah.
I hope so. Number four, I've got to move. Number four. All right, before you write down number four, James chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. Write those verses down as well for the point number three. Number four, warfare, the first purpose of prayer is for warfare and establishing kingdom purposes. Warfare and establishing kingdom purposes. And what I'll say to you is read Daniel chapter 6. When you go to read Daniel chapter 6, you will see a number of things happening there. You see that Daniel, the Bible says he was a man of prayer. And Daniel, who was a man of prayer, he prayed three times a day, as was his custom. The king declared that, the king decreed that no one should pray or make a petition for 30 days in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 7. And when he did that, the people that are around Daniel, the Bible describes him as a man of honor, as a man of purpose, as a man with integrity. And the people around him didn't like him. They tried to catch him out, but they couldn't find a fault with him. They couldn't find anything wrong with him whatsoever. And so, therefore, they did what they shouldn't have done. And they tried to trick him. They tried to trap him. They couldn't. But when the king made this decree now, they watched Daniel to see what he would do. And you know what Daniel did? The Bible says that Daniel did this. Daniel went to his bedroom. The Bible says that he opened his windows toward Jerusalem, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. And then when he opened his windows toward Jerusalem, he looked out the window, and the Bible says that he prayed. And I said to myself, why did he? I don't know if you've ever thought that. I don't know, maybe you've got the answer. Why did Daniel look towards Jerusalem when he prayed? Does anybody have the answer? Nobody? Would you like to know why?
Yeah.
You sure? All right, this is why. Let me write this down. You write it. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 34 has the answer. I'm going to tell you what it says. All right? Daniel opened his windows and he looked towards Jerusalem and prayed. You know why he prayed? He did that? He did that because when Solomon was dedicating the temple, you know what Solomon said? Solomon said words to this effect, that Lord, anyone who looks towards Jerusalem, okay, anyone who looks towards it, let their prayer be heard by you and be answered. And that's why he did that. Because Solomon made that decree all those years ago at the dedication of the temple, that he asked God, and he said to God, anyone that makes a prayer facing Jerusalem, that God would answer their prayers. And that's what you're going to see in that reference I just gave to you a while ago. So I could say so much more on this, but I'm going to stop because I'm a little bit over my 30 minutes. 2 minutes over my 30 minutes. I've got two more scriptures to give you. So let me just reiterate. Number four, warfare and establishing kingdom purposes. And by the way, that is our highest mandate. That is the church's highest mandate. So if your mandate, if what you're doing has nothing to do with the kingdom of God and establishing his kingdom, then I ask you to check yourself again. Because that's your highest priority, church. And above that, there is nothing else. There is no other. So we've got to do that. Write down these two verses and then I'm finished. And these two verses point to the Word of God. Without the Word of God, there is no success in your life. Okay? None whatsoever. And so everything we mandate, everything that we do, has to be based upon the God's Word. Well, what has God's Word said about it? If you can't find it, then it's questionable. There is a question mark right there. And faith never goes beyond the question mark. Psalm 119, verse 101. This is what it says. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I've kept myself, I've disciplined myself from going in that way that displeases God so that I may keep his word. Again, I just said it, it's discipline. And that's what the psalmist did. He disciplined himself in what he was doing. He wasn't follow fashion. He disciplined himself to keep God's word. Psalm 119, and I'm closing. Verse 103, two verses down. Psalm 119, verse 103. I love this. How sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. The psalmist could not say that if God's word was not in his mouth. So when God's word is in your mouth, what do you got to do? Yeah, release it. Speak it. Declare it. Decree it. Confess it. Prophesy it. Speak it out. And speak it with faith, believing that God will do what he said he would. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit thereof. And be careful. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2 says, I'm caught by the words of my mouth. I'm trapped by the words of my mouth. So your words can be a blessing, but your words can also be a curse. Be careful what you release out of your mouth. Be careful what you are saying. That's why you hear me often talk about strongly about against grumbling and complaining. Because those are negative things, negative actions, negative words that come out. When you constantly complain and grumble and moan, you create that atmosphere around you and around others. Now, the prosperity of the house is in the mouth of the speaker. So you ought to be speaking good and right words. Job 6:25. Write that one down. Just came to my spirit. You know, Job 6:25. It's very important that we speak right words, that we declare right words, no matter what the situation is, because God is able. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is able. No matter what you're going through, God is able. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and say it with confidence. No, stop. No. You can't say it. Say it with confidence, man. Folks, do you believe that God is able? Do you believe that all things are possible with God?
Yes.
Right. Now turn to your neighbor with energy and confidence and say, neighbor, with God all things are possible. I may not know what you're going through. It may be bigger than what I think, but it doesn't matter because you've got a big God. And your big God that you serve will bring you through in Jesus' name. But you've got to be obedient. You've got to be obedient. You can't switch on and switch off. You've got to be obedient. You've got to be constant. Because that's what God is looking for. You serve a constant God. And God the Father expects his children to be like him. So if God is constant, you've got to be constant. If Jesus was always praying, and we see that he was always praying, then God is always constantly listening and answers his prayer. And God wants to answer the prayers of his people. You've heard me say this over the years so much that, you know, and it's true, that the prayers of God's people are so precious to God. The book of Revelation tells us that our prayers are held in a vial. They're held up there in a vial. I'm actually going to study that to see what, and I think the answer is in the Bible, you know, but I'm not going to say nothing more than that. God has them for a reason. He is precious. He loves you. No matter what you're going through, he loves you. He sees and knows everything. But he wants you to be completely and totally submitted to him. In Jesus' name. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. I've just given you four purposes for prayer. And what you cannot afford to do is to leave this place now not paying attention to what God has said. So my prayer is that you will just humble yourself today and that you will understand what God is saying and be obedient and do it in Jesus' name. So I just want to ask you this morning, is there anyone here who says, yes, Pastor David, I really need prayer. Will you please pray for me before we take communion? Just raise your hand. I don't know what area, maybe it's an area of discipline. Thank you, put those hands down. Anybody else? Maybe it's an area of discipline. Maybe it's an area where you see that you are lacking in prayer itself. Or word intake. Yes, you can put your hands down. Put your hands down. Thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit as he speaks this morning. Father, I just want to thank you for your people this morning, Lord. I want to thank you for your word. And we thank you, Father, because, Lord, you have ordained victory to be ours. So we give you thanks right now, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we pray that you will just have your way, Lord, in our hearts, in our lives, concerning everything, oh God, that we are going through, Lord. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for the answered prayer that we have, Lord. Because, Lord, before we even ask, at times you hear and you answer. We see evidence of that in your word. And thank you for your love that is always pouring out toward us. And Lord, we just lift up those who have lifted their hands to you, Lord. Father, you know what their needs are. You know where they're at. You know the help that they need, Father. And so, Father, we lift them up before you and we say right now, thank you for being their source. Thank you for the things that you've already provided for them, Lord God, even before we ask. And we pray, Lord God, whatever mountains, Lord God, that we may be facing that seem so insurmountable, Father, we are reminded, Lord God, that with you all things are possible if we believe. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, because you said to Zerubbabel the angel of the Lord, I believe it was, prophesied before Zerubbabel and said, oh, who are you, O mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall be made a plain. And we just read about what's happened in the valley of dry bones, Lord God. How something so seemingly dead, oh God, had life. There was a big noise and a rattling and a shaking. And sometimes, Lord, we see that in our lives, Lord, a rattling and a shaking and a noise. But, Lord God, at the end of that, Father, good prevails. Because you're a good God who has good things in store for his people. So thank you for your leading. Thank you for your direction. Thank you for all that you are doing and for what you will accomplish in our lives today. Again, Lord God, let your hand rest upon those especially who lifted their hands to you, Father. And I pray, oh God, that they will testify soon and very soon about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise for what you are doing now in our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody say,
amen.
And amen. Praise God.